as you know, Jesus told parables. But sometime between the life of Jesus and the writing of the Gospels, an allegorical interpretation of the parables became quite popular. An allegory is different from a parable. Allegories is something, stands for something else. For example, in this, the sower, as you'll hear, is the Son of Man. You know, the good seeds, the children of God, that kind of thing. Now, the problem with allegories, of course, even though they were popular for a long time, they haven't been popular for interpreting for hundreds of years now, but... the problem with allegories is, if that's the way you're going to interpret, anything could be anything, you know, and sometimes was, you know, in the history of the church. So anyway, as Matthew tells this, I think this parable only occurs in Matthew, and as Jesus told it, it was probably a simple story about, you know, weeds and grain growing in the same field, and let them go until the end, because God, as you heard in the early lessons, God is the only God and powerful, and he will judge with justice and grace. So that was probably the meaning of it. And when you hear this, you'll get the feeling that you're being set up. And because, I mean, like twice, they talk about the seed as being good seed. Duh, as if somebody's going to go out and sow with bad seed, you know? And secondly, the weeds in my garden, the church's garden, and in first century Palestine just grew all on their own. Didn't need somebody else coming in there to throw. And in fact, in first century Palestine, they often weeded a couple of times before the harvest. So we're being set up, and what we're being set up is this conflict between good and evil. So please stand for the reading of the Gospel from Matthew 13. This is the second of three parables. You'll hear the third one next Sunday on agrarian kind of, you know, garden things. So he put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field?" And, you know, masters don't sow. I mean, it's the, you know, it's their servants who sow the seed. That's another thing. And, where then did these weeds come from? Duh. You know. And he answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us this parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed," see, here's the allegorical stuff. "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The gospel of the Lord. God's beloved people. You open any newspaper, this is Fridays, and you will be met with a good dose of some awful things. Missiles suspected in jetliner crash. Israel invades Gaza after Hamas rejects truce. Fire forces hundreds of evacuations. Three people die in a bank robbery. You would think St. Paul had the newspaper in his hands when he was writing to the Romans. The whole creation, indeed, is groaning, just like St. Paul said. And the weeds seem to be crowding out the wheat. Now, those of us who believe in God have a hard time explaining why things are the way they are. All of us wrestle with a world that is messier than we would like it to be. The details maybe have changed since the Bible was written, but the dilemma remains the same. What should we do about this mess? What can we do? And why is it this way in the first place? If God is really in charge, then why isn't the world a beautiful sea of waving grain? Or at least the church, huh? I mean, couldn't the church at least be a neat field of superior wheat? According to Jesus, not even the kingdom of heaven is pure. It may have started that way, but somehow, weeds among the wheat. It was known in the first century Palestine as Darnel, a nasty wheat lookalike with poisonous seeds. You know, if it was not separated from the wheat, at some point or another, those seeds, you know, can get ground into the flour and make a loaf of bread that will give you a real bellyache. Now, as you may have noticed in your own garden, weeds do not require an agrarian terrorist to plant them. They seem to grow quite well all by themselves. And most of us have got them, not only in our yards and gardens, but also in our own lives. We often begin worship with an order for confession and forgiveness, acknowledging our very own weeds. And not only that, but also these thorny people sucking up sunlight and water that were meant for good plants, not weeds. Some are just irritating, like poison ivy. But some are deadly, as events in every newspaper show. And the question is, what to do about them? Do you want us to go and gather them, the servants ask? That's a common sense solution. And in fact, farmers of that day, more than once during the growing season, would usually remove weeds from a grain field, pull them up, cast them out, cleanse the field. And we have seen a lot of that lately, especially Bosnia, Northern Ireland, Middle East, Ukraine. Whenever people are busy trying to purify the field by hostile means, they are doing what the servants wanted to do, only they are doing it without permission. No, the master said. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. That's a rather stunning statement. Not least of all because it seems to advocate passivity in the face of evil. It also seems to suggest that we can do more harm when we think we are doing good than when we are doing nothing at all. As far as I can discover in my readings about this, there are at least three reasons the master gives for why he says no to those who want to neaten up the field. The first is that, as we noticed with the kids, they are not skillful enough to separate the good from the bad. They cannot always tell the difference, for one thing, and they exterminate something that looks like a weed, but when they bend over to pick up the limp stalk, grains of wheat fall out. We thought it was a military transport, they said in Ukraine. Another difficulty is their lives are often intertwined. If one of the tricks of darnel, that weed, is it wraps its roots around the roots of the wheat, so you can't yank up one without yanking up the other. Better to let them grow until harvest. And a second reason to let the weeds grow is that they may turn out to be useful in the end. In the first century Palestine, you know, wood, lumber, firewood, and coal were very hard to come by. The best bet for heating and cooking fuel was dried weeds and manure. By letting the weeds and the wheat grow together, farmers had almost everything they needed to make bread. The wheat for the flour, and the weeds for the fire. The only other thing they needed was a little patience, a little tolerance of the temporary mess until everything was put to good use at the harvest. Only, how shall the wheat survive? By spending all their time attacking the weeds? Or by devoting that same amount of time being wheat? The third reason the master said no to yanking the weeds is that the wheat run the risk of turning into weeds themselves. It's one of the trickiest things weeds do. To get the wheat so riled up and defensive that they start acting like weeds themselves, full of thorns and poison, good guys who turn into bad guys trying to put the bad guys out of business. And we've been warned of that before, huh? You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist the evildoer. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God allows a mixed field, in other words. And whether we like it, approve of it, understand it or not, God asks us to tolerate a mixed field too, world, church, or community. Only it is not even remotely a call to passivity. It is instead a call to activity. As any of you who have loved any enemies lately already know. It is not always easy being wheat. But what the master seems to know is that the best and only real solution to evil is good. Our job in a mixed field is to mind our own business, so to speak, our business being wheat, bearing good fruit, the reconciliation of the world through this crazy practice of unshielded love and grace and peace and all that good stuff. And let God take care of the rest. Amen.